Hello, welcome to the NRF1 podcast on Audio Boom on iTunes on Future Radio in Norwich. Episode 131 is our 2016 Singapore review as the current Formula One season gets very, very tasty indeed. And yes, there are more men on the track while the cars are on the track too. Hope this finds you very well and that you enjoyed the action at the weekend. Let's get stuck into reviewing it. My name is Michael Bailey. I have alongside me two men with two wonderful cars, Richard Baxter and Steve Rust. Richard, Dickie, your car?
Yeah, it's four wheels. It's got a fifth within the shape of like a steering wheel. It's got a boot, it's got an engine, windows, windscreen wipers, horn.
It's a Ford Mustang.
Yeah.
In what colour?
Deep impact blue.
Don't get tired of saying that.
I say it in the same tone every time as well, if you notice. So. Yeah,
wonderful work. And of course, we've seen quite a lot of your car and we hope to see more of it. And I'm still waiting for you to allow me to drive it, which will happen soon, won't it?
I gave you a lift the other day to the pub.
Yeah. It's good taster. Good taster.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't far. You couldn't really get up to speed, but 30 miles an hour, that's all you need.
It is, you're right. Steve's going, no chance. So, no, he definitely said he'd let me drive it. And I'm sure Steve will let me drive your new car, which is
Porsche 944 from 1989.
Have you been spending a bit of time doing this up?
A little bit, but my time has mostly been with my other car.
Which is?
My Jaguar XK.
Now, which, if they're all lined up and it's a beautiful sunny day, which do you pick out to drive?
If I'm late, I'll take the fast one, which is the Jag. If it's not too hot because there's no air condition, I'll take the Porsche.
What a choice. Meanwhile, I will obviously drive around Norwich in my green Peugeot 206, a 2002 classic.
I passed my test in one of those.
Well, you see, that's what I'm saying. Top class.
So I started there.
Yeah. All right.
So did I. I passed my test in a Peugeot 206.
All right, yes, I'm driving a car people take their test in. There we go. You enjoy your supercars, whatever. I mean, you've still got to drive the Pixo around, haven't you, Rich?
Yeah, a 1 litre Nissan Pixo. No power steering, no anti-lock brakes, not even central locking. It's brilliant. No, it gets me to the park and ride and back again just for work, so...
See, the truth be known, Michael, you're living in reality and us two here are living a delusional lifestyle, so it's not all bad, you know.
And you can afford a house. And
all right, well, yes, okay. That's true. Yeah, barely. This is fair points. But, you know, I am the not very much of a star in a very reasonably priced car. And I guess, as we've seen before, they do 30 miles an hour just fine too. So it's all okay. Anyway, enough of this. We've got Formula One action to talk about. Plenty of it too. A cracking race in Singapore. Do we enjoy it? I mean, it flew by and it was thoroughly engaging from start to finish. I thought Steve's already shaking his head.
I enjoyed various parts of it, probably the start and the end. And I thought the middle bit just, for me, just dragged and dragged. You know, when there was one point where I sort of just looked at the lap time, I was like, oh, Jesus, like still another 40 laps. And then at the end, obviously, which I was going to date, we'll get to, you know, the strategies kicked in, all came alive again. But it was a sort of a race for me from this all about the start and all about the end.
Yeah, I would agree with that. In the middle, it did seem to get a bit, I don't want to say boring, but...
Boring.
A bit tedious, shall I say.
Which is much better than boring.
it was just that kind of situation where I kept looking at the laps thinking, it's okay, it's a long race, and we were waiting for something to happen. And eventually we got the late charge from Luciao, though. But it was kind of in the middle. You're just thinking, what's going on? There's a few bits and pieces, with a few overtakes in there to keep us interested. But then it quite wasn't the close race that I was expecting, to be honest.
No, I guess it's one of those that you had the potential that was keeping you involved with what was going to happen, and then it didn't quite happen, but at least it kept you interested in the end, I guess. We've got to start where we normally start, which is at the top end, of course, both in terms of the championships and the race itself. Nico Rosberg, he won his third win in a row since the break. Now, Lewis Hamilton had won six of the last seven before that break. So it's very interesting what the summer break has done in terms of the whole momentum. And of course, Nico started by winning the first four races at the start of the season. So it's momentum, definitely very much with Nico. He now leads the championship, his first win in Singapore. He's raced 200 Grand Prix now. That was number 200. this could be Nico's year, Steve.
I knew you were going to ask that question. I knew you were going to put us on the spot again.
Every week, that's all I do every week, question. Steve. I can't believe you haven't cottoned on yet.
It is with him, but just through years and years watching, well, Lewis Hamilton in Formula 1, he always comes back. I mean, at the start of the season, we were sitting here saying, is this going to be Nico's year? You know, and we hummed and hawed about it. And then Lewis goes and wins 7 out of 8 races, and we're all thinking something different. Now it's gone back the other way. There's not that many more races left, so it'll be interesting. But I'm just still not convinced as far as Nico goes, to be honest. I think it could be close. It could be like come down to a lot smaller points than probably it was in 2014, because obviously last year it was a lot more at the end. But I'm still not that convinced, because I know what Hamilton is like. He always comes back with a vengeance.
I mean, it is a 5-point lead Nico has, isn't it now? It's an 8-point lead. Oh yeah, sorry. Of course, Lewis didn't finish second. He finished third, didn't he? So yeah, sorry. 8-point lead from a 2-point Lewis lead before the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a few races ago we were saying, surely this is Hamilton's year. He's got it again in the bag, just before the summer break anyway, because it was on good form. And yet now, just 3 races after, it's like, oh, is it Nico suddenly? It's not over, and it could be really tight. It could go down to the last race, which would be awesome. And then what Abu Dhabi's like, especially with the Mercedes there, that could be a really close race. So yeah, sparks could literally fly, bodywork could, we'll see. It could be a really exciting end to the season if it stays close for the rest anyway.
I mean, that's the interesting thing. Mercedes, or luck, circumstance, whatever, has managed it so that Nico and Lewis have not had to come up against each other since the mid-season break, have they? So, and Nico has done, even though he was pushed to the end by Daniel Ricciardo at the weekend, effectively we have Nico Rosberg on pole winning a race and Lewis off the pace or starting further back and having to make up ground. So what I guess we need is a race where we've got the two of them plumped back in right at the top of the grid to see how they push each other. It's hard with Lewis, isn't it? I mean, he had a terrible session, a couple of sessions on the Friday. It was a mess, and he just played catch up from there and never really got on top of it. His brakes screwed him over in the race and just never on it, was he? And he still seemed quite relaxed for that after the race, did you not think? Or calm? It wasn't. I've seen him much more pent up than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of summed up the story of his year, really. You know, with just car problems, that hasn't always been his doing. I thought he seemed fairly relaxed after the race, but in the race you sort of heard quite a lot of sort of Lewis Hamilton that we've seen in the past, getting frustrated, getting sort of a bit hot with the team on the radio. I mean, it's kind of sort of annoying, really, because I don't think at times we're sort of seeing a sort of a level playing field in terms of, yeah, they've both got the tools and they're both racing out. It sort of seems that when Nico wins, it's when Lewis has had problems that has hindered him. And then when he hasn't, it's the other way round, and you've got Nico sitting there in second and Lewis has won the race by some margin. That just seems to be how it is.
Yeah, it was strange hearing Lewis on the radio so much. I mean, well, I say strange, we've heard it before. But it's like you're still on the track, really on the Saturday, it was your pace that didn't get you to the front of the grid. So it seems strange to suddenly be questioning strategy and everything, because you would have thought they would have had it set up. But then, I suppose in that situation, looking back, you think, why did you go on the softs? You know, why was you put onto the softs, I should say, when at the same time as Ricciardo, who went on the super softs, I think it was. So it's like instantly he's got the advantage, he's going to get away from you. And eventually, of course, Raikkonen then caught Hamilton and got past. So it was some strange decisions there. But it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds with, you know, them two fighting for the season anyway.
And we have Malaysia coming up next, which has a bit of history of teammates coming up against each other and maybe rubbing each other the wrong way. Toto Wolff said it's the best he's seen Nico in Singapore. I mean, that to me says that the head of motorsport at Mercedes is thinking that Nico could do this.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear him say that. But then I think there was also a quote I read today, and he said something like, you know, that was a mega weekend for Rosberg, but I know what my drivers are like, and coming up there's going to be a mega weekend for Hamilton. So, you know, I think he's kind of, on one hand, is saying you're doing great, but don't forget you're also doing great. So I think that's quite good management, really, from the manager, the team boss anyway.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, obviously Rosberg had a good weekend, but he was without any trouble. You know, I mean, he got the pole position, he got the good start, and it was a case of just playing strategy out and not making any mistakes, and he was going to always take the win on that note for me. So it wasn't like the race we watched Lewis come from the back in Spa to come all the way through to the podium. I would say that was probably the best you might have seen of your driver in a while. I wouldn't use the kind of the same sentence to describe sort of Nico's effort on Sunday, which, or for the weekend, which was good, but I wouldn't go that far.
What was impressive was Daniel Ricciardo's pace, because he very much took that race to Mercedes, probably more than we've seen in a very long time. Did you think he was going to do it at any point, Rich?
I was really hoping it would be a sooner charge. You would go on the charge earlier. But it was kind of a problem Mercedes caused themselves in the end with getting Hamilton past Raikkonen back on the podium. And then Red Bull just thought, well, we've got a free pit stop now, let's cover ourselves and do the same. It was good work on them, because I was thinking, why is he not, you know, Rosberg, why did Rosberg not come into the pits? Then, of course, when you see the times and how much quicker Ricciardo was, you think, yeah, that's actually, you know, that's the reason I'm not employed by them. But it was good they kept Rosberg out and could, you know, look after tyres, look after brakes just enough to see him to the end. But the pace he had was phenomenal, like 3 seconds a lap he was getting at one point. It's okay, he's on softer tyres, but still, that's a Mercedes who's been untouchable pretty much all the last 3 years, so...
Yeah, and I mean, Daniel clearly thinks that Red Bull can push. I mean, we saw this last year where Mercedes really struggled at Singapore and it was just a complete one-off, even though we had lots of questions off the back of it. Do you think Red Bull can really push Mercedes and maybe win another race? They're the only team other than Mercedes to actually win a race so far this season.
I think it was earlier in the season, I would probably say so, but I think with the races we've got left, I think it's unlikely. I think they'll probably be... on the podium for most of them. You know, they've really come a long way, because it wasn't that long ago that they were just sort of sitting, you know, sort of fourth, fifth, sixth, sometimes lower than that, you know, and we were used to sort of seeing Ferrari being the next best team, but they really come a long way, you know, in a short space of time. I think it's probably more of an omen for like next year, really, and the year after, in terms of that they could be back, you know, in a strong force like they once were not too long ago.
Of course, the only race that has not been won by Mercedes was in Spain. I think I've got that right. And of course, that was the race where Nico and Lewis took each other out on the first corner.
I would add in as well, looking at the races left, just thinking of them, Suzuka, we know what that's like. And there's a lot of twists and turns. I mean, especially through Sector 1. And the Red Bull could be absolutely mighty through there if they, you know, get a clear run. And if, you know, if they're not even near the front, if they get a good start and Mercedes might have struggled, they could be well away, you know, they could be in the lead for that, you know, Sector 1 anyway. So that could be an interesting race to watch.
Can sense the excitement in your voice, Rich. Okay, well, Rich, we did get your blog up. You can go and read it, nrf1.uk. That's on the safety issues in Formula 1. Give it a read. It's a good read from Rich. Make some good points in that. If you want to become one of our Patreons, our patrons, you can do that. patreon.com/nrf1, and you can subscribe to the podcast at iTunes, which is nrf1.uk/is on iTunes, and the podcast is now available on Audioboom. Just head over to audioboom.com and search nrf1. There is a address, but I can't remember what it is. So you can dig that out and find that and listen to all our podcasts, including some of our shorts too, and we'll be putting bonus features on there over the course of this season and future seasons, absolutely no doubt. You are listening to the NRF1 podcast on Future Radio on Audio Boom. It's time for the NRF1 Pit Stops. Right, gentlemen, please. We have done Mercedes, we have done Red Bull. Shall we have a quick stop at Ferrari, shall we? Because they had a strange old weekend, really, of it, didn't they? Sebastian Vettel was in a complete old mess during qualifying. Came back really well, though. Had a good, strong finish. Fifth?
Fifth, yeah.
And Kimi had a good race, too, didn't he? And there were some great overtakes. Vettel overtaking two cars in one go. It was a Toro Rosso and Gutierrez. Force India, was it? Toro Rosso?
Haas. Was it?
Haas? What did it? It was Gutierrez and...
I cannot remember, basically.
It was definitely two cars, which is great work. And Kimi, of course, did he get screwed over by the tyre strategy? Because he did overtake Lewis, and then it was the pit stop that saw him back behind him.
I think he did. I just, looking back, for their sake, I wondered why they stopped him. I think he should have just kept going on those. I mean, sure enough, he might have been a bit sort of coming into a little bit of trouble towards the end, but it's not an easy place to overtake. I just sort of think they did not need to bring him in. You know, they were only bringing in Lewis in an attempt to try and, you know, sort of get him ahead of him. But I think they kind of really sold themselves a dummy on that one, really.
Yeah, I can see the reason why, because you think you want to cover the driver who you're nearest, who you're racing. It's a chance for them to get a podium. But then, as it's well talked about all over the whole weekend, was how well the undercut works at Singapore. And really saw the effect with that. And you think if they did keep Raikkonen out longer, just try and let him go to the end, he could have been okay if he turned the engine up a bit later on or something, if they could. If not, I mean, if the tyres suddenly fall off, you had plenty of space and it was your own teammate behind you, so you probably would have been okay. You've still got the same positions. So, I mean, there's kind of, I suppose there's 50-50 on their strategy in the end.
I would stop off at Williams, but what we're actually going to do is just walk past the garage and give them a wave, because it was pretty much a shocker for them, and they are struggling again. Force India, though, they had an interesting time with it. I mean, Nico Hülkenberg at the start was incredibly messy. Of course, we had a virtual and actual safety car. Hülkenberg colliding with Carlos Sainz after Max Verstappen's terrible start. Real messy. I mean, do we have sympathy for Nico? Is it just one of those things? I think I heard Martin Brundle say he's amazed that it doesn't happen more often, given how tight everything is.
Yeah.
At the start, that is.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look back at the start of Monza, I can't remember who it was who started badly there. But I remember seeing there was Alonso who moved out to get past whoever, you know, got a slow start. And then Bottas suddenly had the same thing, and he swerved, and Alonso had to swerve, otherwise there would have been contact, and they went into the pit exit on Monza. I mean, that's not even a tight circuit, really. Monza is quite wide, plenty of space on the grid until he gets to the first corner anyway. But with Hülkenberg, that was real shame for him, because he got such a quick start, and then he was just sandwiched in the end. He had nowhere to go, and Sainz had to get out the way, otherwise it would have been a really nasty accident going over the top of someone. And I would propose this now. Maybe we should have a new of the weekend.
And oh yeah, go Rich.
Like most unlucky.
Yeah, okay. What? Who would we name that after? Felipe Massa, maybe.
I don't know.
Could be a good one for when he's retired.
Kvyat.
Kvyat. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah. So most unlucky of the weekend. I like it.
Yeah, and to be honest, getting ahead of ourselves, but I would put Hülkenberg as that, because that was a phenomenal start he got, and he could have been probably top five, you would have said. But unfortunately, just got caught up and ended up in the wall, and it was, yeah, quite a horrible crash, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was just another unlucky race for him, really. I mean, he was just annihilated at the start, basically, is the way I'd describe it. He just... you know, there was nothing he could have done. I mean, the onboards from that, there was nothing that any other driver could have done. You know, it's just unfortunate for him, really.
Heading over to Toro Rosso, we've already mentioned Carlos Sainz. I mean, we saw a black and orange flag. We don't get one of those very often, but they called him into the pit, something that Carlos wasn't particularly happy about. They had to sort out his barge board. The other thing I want to mention, a lot of satisfaction in seeing Daniel Kvyat fend off Max Verstappen. Well, everyone's nodding. Yeah, I mean, was that like
some
God?
Of my favourite bits of the race, that was. There were some really good duels between those two, but you could see it was personal, yeah, because obviously, you know, one had got one seat and one had gone the other way. Yeah, some really, really good duels on that. I did enjoy some of those.
Obviously, Max, you know, saw it out in the end and finished comfortably ahead of Daniel, but still, or Daniel.
Yeah, it was really good to see that, and I was pleased for Kvyat, because he's saying, not just to his current team, but to the rest of the teams on the grid, if you want a driver who can fight, you know, when he's comfortable with the car, in his good position, who can fight and get points, I'm here, you know, fending off someone you've been raving about. But what really did it for me, though, was as Kvyat was really fighting well, cleanly, really good racing, and that's exactly what we want to see as fans. And then just after a couple of laps of it, Verstappen, we know his talent, we know how good he is, but show it. He was straight on the radio, and he said to the team, "Oh, come on." And it's just like, wait a minute, a few races ago you were going on about how great racing is. I think that was at Spa after he did his manoeuvre on Raikkonen.
And well, he basically blocked him, yeah.
Yeah, and he was saying about, "Oh, well, you know, I'm a racer, if you don't like it, then this racing's not for you," and he's kind of being a bit mouthy about it. And it's like, you can't just suddenly start complaining on the team radio because you're racing someone. Just show us what we know you've got. And that really got me a bit. And I did shout at the TV and say some words, but...
Yeah, you know. Which words?
I think I called him a p***, to be honest, but I just said, stop whinging and just get on with it. It's what the fans love to see. And we were watching it, and I think he must have been the only one complaining. And Christian Hall, I think, even though it's the sister team that's holding, you know, his driver up, I think he can even admit and say that's what we want to see, because we know he's, you know, Kvyat's a good driver still, and he's, you know, if he shows it like that, brilliant.
Yeah, there is definitely that edge to Max, isn't there?
Oh yeah, definitely. He reminds me of some of like the GP2 drivers that come through in their first season. They're quite feisty and before they kind of settle down. But yeah, there is definitely that about him. Quite exciting driver, I think, to watch, really.
It's a very exciting driver to watch. He is box office, we would say. We saw Chase Carey's moustache working the paddock. What a joy that was. I mean, Chase Carey was attached to it as well. He was doing some working too, but mostly it was the Tash doing the work.
Yeah, it was funny. I read a quote online, and he said Formula One can't be run as a dictatorship.
Yeah, that's been on almost every outlet. Every outlet has covered that.
And I just thought you better shave your tash, to be honest. Because I look at looking back in history at a few, it's... Yeah.
Are we now likening him to Hitler? Is that what we're doing there?
No, I'm just saying. It's more of a Stalin anyway, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bernie doesn't have a moustache.
True, yeah. I didn't think of that one.
Lots of hair. He does have lots of hair. He seems to be shrinking by the weeks, but it's going to be an interesting one there, isn't it? That dynamic between those two. Very much so. Let's just finally stop off at McLaren, shall we? Fernando Alonso admitted he had brief dreams of finishing on the podium. It was all going so well. Did anyone else have those brief dreams? Or was it just for Steve? Go on, Steve.
No. Just definitely not. I mean... I don't know why you thought that, to be honest. It just did not look possible. They couldn't sustain that sort of pace, and they were eventually just inevitably going to get overtaken, and finish further down like he did, which I think, what was it, seventh in the end,
not that close to the podium, just a 1 minute 29.198 seconds behind Nico Rosberg.
I think watching the start of the race, and obviously we saw a few drivers caught up in the Hülkenberg incident, and I think Alonso might have been up to like fifth or something after the first couple of laps, and I was like, wow, that's actually a good place. And I think when you're in that position, you think all it takes is a couple of the guys up front to get a bit feisty and make mistakes, and he could have been in position. You know, on outright race pace, he didn't have it, but with a little bit of luck, maybe.
Luckiest driver maybe of the weekend. We'll have to start getting touched into that. We will be, of course, bringing you our Malaysia preview. Malaysia has changed in the calendar. It's next up. We'll bring you the preview of that and go through the latest news, including more on, of course, the Liberty deal in terms of buying out Formula One. That will come next week. But for now, this is the NRF1 podcast with Audio Boom, with Future Radio. It's time for our Of the Weekends. Okay, well, we've kind of done unluckiest driver of the weekend. I like that though, Rich. We'll settle that into the future rounds. How about our general Rodolfo Gonzalez driver of the weekend? Gentlemen, nominations, please.
I will give it solely to Kvyat, just because of the racing we saw and what's happened to him this season. It took a lot of guts to do that as well. But I should also give a worthy mention to the Ferrari driver, Vettel, who had a good race coming from the back. So
did start the back of the grid indeed. Good shouts.
Yeah, I mean, I would have gone with sort of Kvyat really, but for a good drive, I think you've got to go for Ricciardo, or Ricciardo if you want to pronounce it that way.
Oh, thanks Steve. Yes, I do, yes.
You know, I mean, it was just a solid race. You know, it's a very worthy driver of the weekend, I think, in my book.
I will give it to Kevin Magnussen, the Renault driver, picked up 1 point, finished in 10th. They haven't got many points, have they, Renault? I think. Is that the first point? Second point? Is that all? I thought they had six. Just check, Rich. You've just checked?
Just checked. Magnussen now has 7 points, including the point he picked up this weekend.
Excellent. So Kevin Magnussen picked up his 7th point of the season. No great shakes. He didn't have any water for the entire race. So he raced for 2 hours in 29 degree heat, high humidity, without a single drop of water. What? And then he came out with a great quote. Team owes me a drink. Yes, probably two at least, Kevin. So well done on that score. Team of the weekend. What do you reckon, Steve?
It's a difficult one, really, because most teams had one driver that did well and the other not so well. So it's a bit difficult to sort of pinpoint. I suppose maybe Red Bull.
The bizarrely, Ferrari second, were the team that did best out of all of them. They kind of botched half their strategy.
Well, yeah. I mean, with Vettel coming from the back, and then Raikkonen nearly getting a podium. So maybe between Ferrari and Red Bull.
Yeah, I think I would just go to Ferrari purely because they got where they should have been, basically. Whereas if you look, you would have thought both Mercedes, both Red Bulls, both Ferraris, you put them in that order on most racetracks. Except at this one, both Ferraris finished ahead of one Red Bull. So it was kind of a bit different. And Hamilton, you know, we would expect him to see him at the top. Still podium, still good. But from how good the Mercedes has been this year, it's... Sounds daft saying third isn't that great for them, but it's true.
Fair enough. Pastor of the weekend. Now, I think this is really straightforward, but what have you got? So I tell you mine. It's either the marshal who was still on the track when the racing had got going after the safety car. Ridiculous situation. And the second year running, we had a human being on the track while the racing was going on. I don't really get that. But it may not have been the marshal's fault, because he may have been out there clearing some stuff up and not realised that someone had suddenly allowed the racing to get going. Although I don't know if there were double yellow wave flags still on that corner, because I'm sure from the TV footage. So it may have been Charlie Whiting or someone on the circuit who had sort of decided that they could come through there quite quickly while the marshal was still apparently running down the track as if he was joining in the racing. But that whole situation, ridiculous.
What about the lizard on the track?
Is there a lizard on the track? I missed that.
In practice, yeah.
Ah.
Well, it was a strange-looking lizard. It was very big, wasn't it?
It's kind of...
Komodo dragon. I mean, Rich, you're basically saying it was a metre long.
It looked to be about a metre long. It was big.
The funny thing was, they showed the team radio. I can't remember which driver it was coming through. And he said, there's a lizard on the track. And then he replied back immediately, said, I'm not joking. Because it's obviously not something that you'd normally sort of say. And they showed a picture of this massive lizard.
Wow, we'll have to retweet that on the Twitter feed and Facebook pages, which of course you can find, Twitter and Facebook, at the NRF1. Rich?
No, I was just going to say, that was definitely a strange one. Because as you know, with my predictions, I like to go a bit wild. And if anyone has predicted that there have been a lizard on the track, I think that should be 100 points.
Yeah, I think you just win the prediction league if you've got that right. Unless you went out there and planted the lizard on the track at some point, which, as we know, humans get on the track quite easily, so it could have been done. Cool. All right, then. Well, are we giving it to the lizard then?
Go on, then.
Yeah, we'll give it to the lizard rather than it being a goat of the week, and it'll be a lizard. Highlight, anyone? We've gone through probably what our highlights are overall.
My kind of highlights was the duel between Verstappen and Kvyat. Yeah. Yeah, it went on for probably a couple of laps of what we saw, and I think that was probably one of the best bits.
Me too.
Probably that in the end, actually. Yeah. I just suddenly remembered the end bit.
Yeah, the end was pretty good. I'd say Max and Daniel.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Also, Ted Kravitz on Sky Sports. There was a bit where... It's kind of strange.
Go on.
But a couple of weeks ago, you remember the whole Italian National Anthem food thing we had going on?
Yes. Oh, wow, my God, where is this going?
Ted Kravitz took the viewers of the Sky show to the food area where they all ate the nighttime food marketplace. And he was chatting with people and talking about all the food. So I was like, well, there you go. We just
put it into a national anthem is what you're saying, aren't
you? Yeah.
You should tweet Ted, see if he can... But that, you know, in practice, for Malaysia, I mean, that would be a good shout.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Malaysian food is like, but I'm sure you could get something.
I'm sure it's great.
I suppose at Singapore it's different because it's a nighttime market, because it's like 3 a.m. when they finish, and then...
I think Sepang's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, probably.
Well, Ted, if you're listening, I'm sure you are, get over to the Audio Boom page for NRF1, or you can head over to nrf1.uk. You can find our Pastor of the Weekend back from Italy, where you can listen to Richard Baxter singing the Italian national anthem and replacing the words with Italian food, something we later replicated with God Save the Queen and British food. I think we'll all agree, our highlight of the season so far. Right, well, on that note, I think we're done, aren't we? Good work, gents. Onwards to Malaysia it is then. We'll be back next week. We'll round up all the latest Formula One news and preview the action in Sepang, which, to be honest, promises to be pretty tasty. There you go, Rich. That's a little pun for you there. Don't forget, nrf1.uk for our blogs, tips, and more. You can listen to the podcast there too, of course, as you can on Audio Boom and iTunes. Twitter and Facebook handles are both at the NRF1. And if you want to get in touch with us, do so via email, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. Or if you head over to nrf1.uk, there's a little red button. Post that, press it, do whatever you do, click on it, and you can leave us an audio message we can include in the podcast. You can rant, rave, cheer, sing national anthems with food in it. Whatever you want to do, do it. And we'll sling it in the podcast. But for now, thank you very much, Steve. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, everyone out there, for listening. We really appreciate your ears. And we'll see you, in an audio sense, next week, ahead of Malaysia. Until then, goodbye.